Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley, and we have another Sports Scales of Truth, an SSOT. If you look at the episode list, you can find it that way. This one is another episode with sports with DeMarcus, and that's my nephew. And so we were going to record this earlier, like Saturday, and be able to predict game one here on London morning. But it turns out that one of us, has a life and had a particularly good Saturday, pretty cool Saturday. So hello, DeMarcus, first, and then tell us about how your Saturday went.
Hello. I'm fresh off of a bad heartbreak. And you may think, oh, young strapping DeMarcus, young new heartbreak, must have been over a girl. No, unfortunately, I went to the Missouri versus Alabama game yesterday, and obviously I root for Missouri because I'm not evil, and they came so close and did all the things right at the very end. It was about to become a fairy tale, and then Bo Pribula, unfortunately, could not be clutch enough, and so my heart has been broken ever since. I feel a responsibility to cry or crash out at least once a day for the rest of the week, and nobody can tell me otherwise.
So, but I think you buried the lead. Did we make it obvious enough? What was the significance of it for you on Saturday?
The significance of going to the game?
Yeah, you went to the game. It was your first one, right? Like your first big one?
Oh, yeah. No, it was my very first D1 college football game.
Pretty awesome, huh?
It really was a great game, though. The environment, the MIZZOU chanting from across the other side of the stadium was beautiful and awesome. I mean, the stadium atmosphere in Columbia is just fantastic. The student section is awesome. We got like the towel thing going where it's really similar to the terrible towels that Pittsburgh does. And it's just, it's great times. It really was a great time.
Really nice day too, right? I mean, wasn't it like kind of 80-ish or 79 or 84 if I had to guess?
Oh, yeah. And my seats had some nice shade from above. And, man, I was just comfortable the whole time. I was wearing my nice yellow Mizzou hoodie because it was gold out. Everybody had to wear gold. It was great.
Cool. Yeah, and your view, actually, I was saying I had to guess from the picture you took that cool thing is you could see the patterns of the play probably pretty well from where you were, looked like to me.
Definitely. Yeah, no, it was really, really good. I love the view. I love the stadium. I love being around the fans. I mean, literally, dude next to me he had chugged about four beers, by the first quarter, and we were just having a great time.
Yeah, that's cool. And a buddy came in, so that's very neat.
Yes,
so with that, then, let's talk about our prediction record thus far. And our prediction record is, have we mentioned this is not a betting show? So we have done week four and week five. Neither of those included all the games, I don't think, although maybe one of them did. I was 10-5 versus DeMarcus's 11-4 in week four. And then in week five, I was only 4-10. It was like, it had to be a near historic as far as how many straight underdogs won. It was crazy week five. 4-10 I was. DeMarcus was 6-8, so he was +2 there for me. Overall, I'm under 500, and I'm just picking winners. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking spread. And DeMarcus is 17-12. So I don't know how I even get out from underneath that. I'm not good at predicting. But what I will try to do is just kind of tell you about some of the factors. To me, that's what's fun. That's what's kind of interesting. Just some of the factors, kind of what the situation is and so on. And yeah, the predictions are fun because it gives us something to do. But way to go so far, DeMarcus, on the +3.
Appreciate it. You'll get there one day.
Yes. So someday when I grow up. So our new rules are we're going to we did find ourselves mostly picking with each other. And, just one or two, maybe three disagreements. And then usually with this, so even though we're not bettors, we're going to make it that we must select at least four against the spread. And then we must select at least two outright underdogs. But we can indicate if that's like, well, I wouldn't have picked them except, I really don't think they're going to win. But I'm going to pick them for purposes of prediction because I have to hit at least two outright underdogs. I'm good with you stating that. That's cool. Because we are starting it a little bit late this morning, just late enough due to it being the international series. Obviously, the Vikings and first of all, the Vikings and Texans are on bye, but the Giants are, I apologize, didn't mean to say that. Thursday night football, 34-17. We're not going to predict it much or react to it much just because we have a lot of games to get to. But yeah, the Giants beat Philly for their second loss in a row. Quite confusing. But the NFL is confusing. So Vikings and Texans on bye, Philly and Giants are done. And then the first game was this morning at London, is going on right now. I haven't looked at the score, and we're not going to really give you an update right now, but we obviously picked that the Denver Broncos would beat the hell out of the Jets in London. And so there's that. I don't think we have to cover right that right now. If you know the score off the top of your head, you can throw it out, but it doesn't really matter.
Should be 10-6 Denver.
Okay.
Second quarter.
I mean, hopefully the Jets can do something, but the Jets are not good. all right, so this will be the first game that you pick, but I'm going to give background on all games and then slide to you when it comes to the pick, and then I'll give my pick. I'm going to give some background. This is Rams at Ravens. So, you know, Rams are 3-2. And won against Houston Titans Colts, but lost against the Eagles and 49ers with that unexpected loss in Week 5. So Cooper Rush is starting for the Ravens. Also, the Ravens are still highly injured. And even one of their cornerbacks is – well, actually, one of their cornerbacks is back. Zay has a shoulder that's questionable, but he should play. Zay has been pretty good in four of the five games over 70-plus. D-Hop, okay. Last week, he had 46 yards. He's an okay supplementary receiver. Rams got quite a few quarterback hits last week, but only one sack. Remember, the Rams have Jared Verse, and five of the hits last week were by Verse. Henry's been a little bit, you know, underperforming compared to what you would expect and or, you know, what you need him to be now since Lamar is not in. Rams defense is fifth in yards per carry allowed, so that's going to be an interesting matchup. Like Hamilton is back. What's his name? I usually know his first name, but the all-pro safety on the Ravens side. You know, obviously Stafford's been doing great, leads a lead in yardage and TDs. Devontae Adams is over there too, besides Puka. Kyron's been doing pretty good, except two big mistakes last week. So with that, anything, if you want to add any thoughts, otherwise you can add thoughts and then go to your pick on that game, which is the Rams-Ravens. And I'm going to pull up what the favorite is, so when we get to that number, you'll know.
Yeah, so, you know, I know we have to hit four against the spread and everything like that, but I'm definitely not doing it here. This one just seems a little too obvious to me. Ravens are extremely dinged up on both sides of the ball. You know, no Lamar Jackson. I'm just easily going to take Rams. I'm going to take them by, like, 14, honestly.
All right. So, Rams 14, and I'll take the Rams. They're favored by 7, so that would be one of your four, you know, that's not within the, you know, not within the spread. So that'll work there. And I'm going to go with one of my four that has to be not within the spread, too. Okay, so the next game then is it'll be my first pick, so I'm just going to do background and go ahead and pick it. This is Cowboys at Panthers. This should be pretty easy. Cowboys defense isn't very good, though, so that could be somewhat intriguing. Rico Dowdle is the backup running back that got his start last week, 206 against Miami last week. And the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So Rico Dowdle is starting again. Cowboys allowed a lot to Breece Hall and to Josh Jacobs. Panthers have that great rookie, Teteroa McMillan. And the Cowboys are allowing the most fantasy points against wide receivers. T-Mac doesn't even have TDs, but he has major yards. Xavier Leggett is on that team. Jake Ferguson's doing pretty good with Dallas. Pickens is doing well with CD hurt and Flournoy. It's kind of been okay. Javonte Williams, the Cowboys running back, done pretty well. Dak's doing pretty well. Most completions in league and tied for third in touchdown passes. So Cowboys 2-2-1, Panthers 2-3-0. I see this as high scoring. I'm going to go with the Cowboys, but I'm going to look at that split to see whether or not I feel like it could be. No, man, the spread's low. The spread's only 3. Isn't that crazy? So everybody else is seeing it as high scoring too. I'm picking the Cowboys, and I'll pick them by 4 just to get one of mine against the spread out of the way. How about you, Cowboys, Panthers, at Panthers?
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to hit a red alert right here. You know, first upset prediction of the week. I am going to take the Panthers, and especially if that same announcer is the one commentating it, because he's just going to put in so much positive and aggressive energy for the Panthers into the universe that there will just be no stopping Dowdle, and it'll be the most Cowboys loss ever if they lose here to the Panthers.
That would be
and
awesome.
I could absolutely see it happening, and I will laugh and I will cheer, and yeah, I'm going to take Panthers, especially because, you know, they're allowing so many points against receivers, so expect Dowdle to have a pretty big game again.
Yeah.
And Bryce Young, you know, Bryce Young's going to have a decent game, and everyone's going to be like, see, he's not the problem.
Keep doing that, Bryce.
I'm
going to
take Panthers by 7.
Panthers by 7. Nice. All right. So you got one of your outrights out of the way. We have to go 2 total. All right. This one's going to be your pick first, but I'll do a little bit of background. You can add background, then add your pick. Cardinals at Colts. Last I looked, why don't you look in the background just while I'm doing some of this intro? It looked like Kyler was questionable with a foot. Jacoby Brissett might have to start. That was the news. It may not be any more solid until 90 minutes before noon kickoff, so it may not help, but see if you find anything. But that's a big questionable. Obviously, got Jonathan Taylor Jonathan. They played the Raiders last week. Colts are high in points per game. Daniel Jones is leads league in passing success percentage, which is basically a measure of keeping ahead of the sticks at Pro Football Reference. It's really, I love that that's a stat. Cardinals are surprisingly only allowing 19 points per game. But it's at the Colts, and they're allowing the 6th best quarterback rating allowed, but I think that means defensively they're allowing the 6th best quarterback rating. I could be wrong there. Obviously, you've got Tyler Warren, a great rookie tight end, other players, Josh Downs and Ashton Doolin, and I forget which team that is. Is that Colts? That's Colts, right? Josh Downs. Jones has only been sacked 4 times all year. Josh Sweat has had 1-plus sack in 4 straight games. Jonathan Taylor, not as good last week, but had 3 touchdowns last week and still went for 3.9 yards per carry. Marvin Harrison had a nice week last week. And so these two teams, Cardinals are 2-3. All of their losses, 3 losses in a row for the Cardinals, all close, I believe all on field goals last second. And the only loss by the Colts is at Rams, otherwise, and that was week 4. Otherwise, it beat Dolphins, Broncos, Titans, Raiders. So go ahead with your any thoughts plus your pick on Cardinals at Colts.
Yeah, and it's looking like Jacoby Brissett's going to start. He hasn't been ruled out. Kyler hasn't, but everything says he's expected to not play and that they're preparing to start Jacoby Brissett. So unless anything changes, which I kind of doubt it will, probably we'll just go ahead and put in Jacoby Brissett. I mean, I don't think you're going to get that much worse of a result, maybe an extra pick. But and I'm predicting this one first, right? You said?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, so Cardinals at Colts, pretty easy one in my eyes. I'd be highly surprised if the Cardinals pulled it out somehow. Not looking for an upset here. Definitely going to take Colts by 10. And I think it's just because they're the better team. You know, Daniel Jones has great protection versus the Cardinals, you know, up front 5, front 4. I mean, he's going to be completely fine. He's probably going to look stellar. So I've got Colts by 10.
Colts by 10. Man, I'll tell you what, that could still be against the spread, though. The spread is, I think it's somewhat big. No, that's another one. You've got your picked against the spread. Another one, rather. You've already, and so for me, yeah, Colts, Cardinals, I just don't see it. I also think the Colts, and, oh man, we wanted, didn't we, isn't one of our rules to disagree? We'll have to look
at
that.
It's just so hard when we're both so intelligent, you know?
Or not. So, no, right now we don't have a disagree rule. We might have to do that next week. We'll have to throw in at least two disagrees or something. Or we could do it informally. I'm going to pick Colts too, and I'm going to go, just so I don't look like I'm trying to one-up you, I'm still going to go not. I feel like the spread is enough, but I'll pick it against the spread here and just go by
what
9.
What is the spread again?
It's 9.5. So
oh.
I'll go with 9. So you happen to pick just barely on the other side, and I'll pick, who knows, maybe since the defense isn't horrible or Jacoby gives them some different look. I don't trust that, but I'll go Colts by 9 instead, which would at least be against the spread. All right, next game then. Is this the right one? This is the Seahawks at the Jaguars. Okay, this is going to be my pick first. This is an interesting game, man. Darnold, Kenneth Walker III, Jackson Smith and Igba. JSN is close to the lead league in yardage. I wrote a note there, but I'm not. But I miswrote it, so I'm not sure. But he's up there, close to the lead league in yardage. We got Lawrence and ATN. Josh Hines Allen is pretty good over on the Jaguars side. But you know, just last week when they played a real team, the Chiefs, that offense is starting to cook. They did allow a season high 476 yards. This team has been, Jaguars has been highly turnover. You know, I don't want to say they depended on it, but they've got a lot of turnovers. So, you know, and they've only beat the Panthers, Texans, a banged up 49ers. I think they were banged up still then in week 4. And then they got one good victory, which is the Chiefs. And they lost at the Bengals, I think. Maybe that was a game that Josh went out, but he played. I'm sorry. Joe went out, but he played part of it. But they barely. So to me, these victories aren't really super impressive. Obviously, you want to start out 4-1, and that's good. But as you try to understand these things, the Jaguars do have a new cornerback from the Browns. Darnold is first in yards per pass attempt. So I like Darnold this year. And Seahawks are -1 in turnover margin, and the Jags are still +8. So with that, I mean, both of these teams are, well, actually the Seahawks are 3-2 because of that Buccaneers loss last week. But they could have won that game. And I think it did require a turnover. The Bucs did get a chance to win late because of some funky stuff. So here I am going to go Seahawks, even at Jaguars. And I'll go Seahawks by 5.
Nice. And did you say that's against the spread, or did you already check?
Seahawks are favored by 1.5. So,
and this is in Seattle?
This is in Jacksonville.
Really? I'm actually surprised by that.
Jacksonville are home dogs.
Wow. No, I'm actually pretty surprised by that. No, I do really like this matchup. I think it's definitely going to be top 2, top 3 games of the week for sure. I'm looking forward to it. I hope I get to watch it live. Probably will. It's going to come down to which quarterback is going to look more like a franchise quarterback, you know, because both of them have their signs and their flashes of it, you know, and they do just enough to get their team to win. But they also just have these moments in big games where they just fall apart or they just don't do enough to be that guy, you know. And so we're going to see Trevor Lawrence or Sam Darnold, who's going to step up, who's going to take the statement win and say, we're a legit team. For me, I'm going to go ahead and take Jaguars at home. I think they're going to continue to roll. I think Liam Cohen is going to really do a great job of keeping their heads in the game, just like they did last week against us. So I'm going to take Jaguars by 3.
Okay, well, we already have 2 disagree, so that's pretty good. I mean, we just didn't want to be matching a lot, so that's good. Next game, this is going to be your pick first, so I'll do background a little bit lighter. This is Chargers at Dolphins. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. The Chargers look like they wouldn't be charging, but now you wonder. So anyway, you got Tua, Waddle, Achan, you got Herbert, Johnston, but I think Johnston is, he's got a hamstring. He may be out. He is limited Wednesday and Thursday. Keenan Allen remembers sitting there, and so's Ladd McConkey. He had a little bit more of a breakout week last week. Hampton, the leading rusher, is out. So's Najee Harris over on the Chargers. Chargers are -3 turnover differential and Dolphins 0. Chargers are starting multiple backups on the offensive line. Cornerback Storm Duck for Miami is questionable. And also, the Chargers have linebackers and linebacker Dupree, and then whoever Perryman is, he's on injured reserve. The Dolphins allow a giant passer rating. This is a 1-4 Dolphins team at home versus a 3-2 Chargers team, but a Chargers team that has lost 2 in a row. And honestly, both of them were unexpected, at least in margin, either in results or margin, losing at the Giants after winning 3 in a row and then getting thumped by the Commanders. So who do you have here, Chargers at Dolphins? What other thoughts do you have?
Man. I'm going to go ahead and maybe I should give some background first.
Yeah, you can give some background, and then I'll tell you what the spread is.
Yeah. I feel bad. I feel like sometimes I only just give my prediction. Screw it. No, I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm taking Dolphins. This is going to be my second upset, but I don't think it's that big of an upset. I think the Chargers are fraudulent. And I think they're going to prove it this week. And, you know, they have perfect positioning to just keep right ahead in the AFC West, you know, stay right ahead of everybody. But I think they're totally fraudulent, and they've proved it to us the past 2 weeks. And a loss to the Dolphins would solidify that, and no one would respect them just as they haven't in the past 10 years. So
what's your spread here on Dolphins? Like, pretty close?
Yeah, I'll take Dolphins by 3.
Okay, I will take Chargers by 5. So you have now picked several underdogs. So you're going to be good there and or against the spread. I'm pretty sure you're going to be good there. We'll look after. All right, so that's Chargers at Dolphins. And then this one's going to be my pick first. Speaking of wonder what they are, and I don't have anywhere near as many notes, so I'll let you add on this maybe even before my pick. I have very few notes.
My bad. I forgot that it was your pick first there.
No, this one's my pick first. You're good.
Oh, okay.
This game here, Browns at Steelers. And, you know, fantantasy says start the Steelers defense. Obviously, the Browns are what they are. And as far as those results, I think that's what I'm going to lean on here. So let's look at these results down here. So right should be the Steelers, right? Yeah. Left is the Browns. The Steelers are coming off a bye week. They are 3-1, but the victories are against the Jets, although it was a road victory. And against the Patriots in week 3, and the Patriots are just now turning the corner. They did lose to Seattle, not awfully, but 17-31 at home. We're talking about the Steelers now. And then they did win against the Minnesota Vikings in the week 4. Again, Steelers coming off bye. The Browns are 1-4, barely lost to the Bengals. Lost to Baltimore before they fell apart at Baltimore. Green Bay, they actually won against, which was just like, what's going on? This must be any given Sunday. Got trounced by Detroit, but it was at Detroit. And then Minnesota Vikings. So this is where we have the starter is Gabriel for the second week. I think he looked serviceable last week. I don't really believe in the Steelers that much. They are plus 7 in the turnover margin. The Browns are minus 4. If the Browns can stay clean, and I think Flacco did have some turnovers. I don't know if Dylan did as much last week, but some of that fifth from last in turnover margin for the Browns, you know, is maybe that goes away. And if the Steelers don't have the great turnover margin, I think this could be a close game. On the other hand, it is at the Steelers. I don't have more. So before I make my pick, do you have anything else to add that could maybe inform me on this Browns-Steelers? Just anything?
Not really, besides just like opinion-based takes. Like, I don't really have any statistics behind.
Yeah, so Quinshon Judkins is having a nice rookie year. Is he he's a Brown?
I like him a lot.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't have more on that as far as what to lean on. I can see this being a close game just because, you know, that's such a good defense, and I don't truly believe in the Steelers just yet. I know that the Browns are getting running backs in the backfield very, very quickly. It's like number one in yards into the backfield where they first contact the running back. But I don't remember how their pass defense is. So I can see this being close, and I'm going to go close. I'm just trying to decide if I want to pick an upset. Do I have an upset yet?
I don't believe you do.
I don't have an upset yet? Okay, I'll pick that one. So I'm picking Browns there. Hold on a second. The Steelers are only favored by 6. I'm going to pick Browns by 2. And who do you pick there, Browns at Steelers?
Yeah, Browns, Steelers. I actually really like your takes on the Steelers there. I mean, yes, they've done everything that they need to, but typically the first 10 weeks of the season, Steelers do just enough of what they need to, you know, to seem legit. But for that reason, I also don't really believe in them that much. And yes, Rodgers has been playing pretty well, but, you know, he's not elite and he's doesn't have as much of a, you know, escape pressure type rollout, you know, hit someone on the run. And I think also having Myles Garrett on the outside makes that 10 times harder, and the fact that he's 40 or whatever. I think it'll be a close game, but I am going to go ahead and take the Steelers. I don't think that the Browns are a good organization or know what they're doing, and probably won't win this game. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh, and I'm only going to take them by 6. I don't remember what you said the spread was.
The spread is 6. Can you try to avoid the spread right on? Can you go 5.5 or 6.5?
I'll take Steelers by 7 then.
Yeah, I don't know why I said go 5.5. That was dumb to say. Weird things. Maybe the Cowboys will be there and they'll get a half a point. Okay, so next game is a game 8 that we're picking. Actually, that's not even. Forget the game number. Forget. These are in order, like, you know, through the day. So I think we might still be on noon game. But regardless, this is Patriots at Saints. DeMarcus, this is your pick first, and this is another one where I don't have much for notes. I'm not going to give much for background. I'm just going to kind of, you know, react to your background. I will say that, I'm not really going to say anything. I think you can lead on this Patriots at Saints, and then I'm just going to react to it when I give my – and you can go right into picks, and then I'll react.
Yep. No, I think this is actually going to be a really fun one because the Patriots are rolling. They just had a huge statement win against the Bills, and so they're alive. But, you know, they're going into New Orleans, and I have always respected New Orleans' home field advantage. It's one of the best in the league, definitely top 5 in my opinion. And, you know, the Saints finally got a win. They got a little swagger back, and, I mean, they have – I really want to believe in them, and I really want to believe in Spencer Rattler, and he's played well this season. You know, the record doesn't reflect it, but he's done pretty good, just fine at least. And so I think it's actually going to be a close game. I don't think, you know, if it's like a 14-point win or something at the end, I think it'll be from, you know, garbage time points or something. You know, I think the narrative of the game will be close and two young quarterbacks, and Drake May will probably be challenged with the home field advantage. And so I am still going to take Patriots because it's the safe bet, you know, and I think they're the better team. I'm going to take Patriots by 6.
Oh, I didn't tell you the spread. Would you like to know that, or does it matter? You're doing pretty well with that. But
I'll stick with my prediction, but yeah, go ahead.
The spread is Patriots by 3.5.
Gotcha.
So you're another one that's you're covering your, you know, not going even in the spread. You're doing that okay. So, yeah, Patriots, Saints, I also feel like, man, you know, Rattlers actually played okay. Finally turned the corner, but that did, was that the Cardinals?
No, that was the Titans, when the Titans beat the Cardinals last week. Dang, I can't remember who they just beat.
The Giants. No?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle, Buffalo. The Giants, is that right? They got their first?
Yep. Oh, yeah, because it was a game where Jackson Dart looks not good. And that was at home.
Okay. So, okay, yeah, I'm getting mixed up just because Thursday night football happened or something. I don't know. So, yeah I like the way Rattler's been looking. I was surprised by that victory anyway, but, you know, I'm hoping, this is more just hoping as opposed to being educated, that they can pick up a second win. But, you know, the Patriot, Drake May looked really good last week. And, you know, maybe with the, I mean, that Saints aren't even winning with a good victory margin, a turnover margin. That's the bad thing. So I like to think they'd win this week, but I'm also going to go with Patriots here because I feel like that organization is on the up, and I'll go, I hate to do 6. I'll go 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you, I know you're not as big on him as I am, but I really like Vrabel as a coach, at least as a, you know, a locker room coach and morale coach. I think he's pretty good. I mean, the Titans have been absolute donkey cheeks ever since they got rid of him. There was no reason for them to get rid of Vrabel, so but I actually really like him.
You're right, I'm not as big on him, but then it's just maybe just because it didn't look very creative with Tannehill and Henry, and then, like I said, short of once every 10 years, having a supposed all-world running back doesn't do you that much good in the end. I mean, give or take a Barkley year with a great defense. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and the defense was a huge reason for it. But you got to give props. He went and beat Tom Brady in the playoffs, you know, in New England, and then, like, you know, in that playoff run that they had where they made it to the conference game, and then went and beat the 14-2 Ravens at the time with MVP Jackson. Like, that was, those were huge statement wins, you know. And then the Titans freaking organization just decided to, you know, make every wrong decision they could. Like, yeah, let's trade AJ Brown for a bag of Lay's potato chips,
right?
You know, and they just kept on getting rid of their solid foundational pieces. And then, you know, when they finally start losing some games, they're like, "Oh yeah, let's fire Vrabel. He's the problem." No, you guys just have your heads up here. Yeah,
yeah, and so, you know, Drake May looks, I think more than one person had this take. This is not original. He's looking a little bit mini Josh Allen, you know, and I say mini because whenever you go, well, you know what, he reminds me of, then somebody else overreacts and goes, you saying that he's, no, it's similarities in game, you dipshits. You know, Drake May has some of that. I think he's got the arm and he's got the size. So I like him. They're going in a good spot. And like you said, he's at least a good culture guy. So yeah, I definitely don't give him massive amounts of credit, but I do believe I'd rather have him as a coach than a lot of coaches, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Game 9, Titans at Raiders. This is the, it's the awful bowl. This is 1-4 Titans. Wait a second. What I have? Okay, yeah, because they beat the Cardinals, but only off of a very fluky situation, and the 1-4 Raiders, who did beat the Patriots in Week 1 at the Patriots, and since then have looked quite awful. So this is my pick first. So, man, both of these defenses are stardom defenses in fantasy football. When you look to say who should we pick? So I expect it's going to be high scoring, and that makes sense. There will be no Brock Bowers. Ward had that drive for the game-winning field goal last week against the Cardinals. And by the way, I looked at that DeMarcado play, and this is what I discovered. I was almost going to show it to you, but we just didn't have time. He's spinning. He's starting to kind of spin the ball out of his hand over the goal line. And if you look at the rule, I looked in the NFL rule book. What is control? What is a running back's control? Is it, you know, that he has to have his hands tightly? Is it that he has to leave his hands? Well, you can imagine that usually that would have to do with somebody trying to knock it out of your hands, right? But then the only thing that was kind of an exception seemed to follow with more like passing possession. It's like, you know, that whole thing that the ball can move. And you're like, I think they use that for, you know, when you're receiving a pass. The ball can move. It doesn't mean that possession is lost. But you don't find anything. Control and possession, it just basically is self-referential. Control and possession. When you talk about fumbles. So he did not have the ball out of his hand, in my opinion, by the time he hit the front edge of the goal line. But nonetheless, that fluky thing happened. DeMarcado and then his coach, supposedly getting pretty pissed and getting fined and apologizing for getting mad at the running back for slipping. They were up 21-6, were the Cardinals at that time. The Titans were behind, and then other funny things had to happen, like the interception, then fumble into the end zone that the Titans recovered.
If I was a head coach and I let my team lose to the Titans after being up 21-6, I'd probably be throwing hands on my players too.
Yeah, and so it was almost, that would have been 28-6. But then that one made it not, and then the interception fumble into the end zone. But you got to give Ward some credit because he didn't need to have a drive for the winning field goal anyway, and he had at least one nice throw on that drive. We're talking the awful bowl, but this is my pick first, and it's at Raiders. Gosh, you know, I got to think that Geno's going to have an okay day for once. So I'm going to go Raiders here, but Raiders going to Raider. I just say that they get to 2-4 and at home. And I could be wrong because, you know, what good is home when you're in Vegas? I mean, honestly. I'll go Raiders here, and I presume that the Raiders are the favorite. So we'll look right now. The favorite is the Raiders by a whole 4.5. I'm not going to go with that spread. I think the Raiders going to Raider potentially, but I do think when Geno's not intercepting, if he can ever figure that out, if you could just take that decision making away, he's got a great arm. I'll just say this is the 1 out of 5 where he doesn't screw it up because he's a good enough quarterback to potentially not screw it up this week. Who do you got? Titans at Raiders.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're going to be happy because it's going to be another disagree. But I was already thinking this, and it's quite literally disagreeing on that very take, just having the exact opposite opinion. I think Geno is going to look really uncomfortable again and just have a bad game again. If Callahan is smart, he's just going to blitz. And if he has a bad, uncomfortable game again, you know, I think we're going to see some Aiden O'Connell in the force. You know, fans are going to be booing, leaving the stadium, and the Titans are going to win. I'm going to take Titans by 10.
Titans by 10. Yeah.
That's a big one. I could be completely.
I remember when I said those idiots, I know you got the money, but you realize you'll never have a home field advantage again. You idiots. Like, are you sure?
Arrowhead West, baby.
Literally, they won't have a home field advantage. Okay, next game. This is... Jeez, it's different on my... This is going to be... your pick first. Obviously, you can see I have a lot of notes here, so I'm going to just barely touch on these notes, and then you can use some of them or not. This is 49ers at Buccaneers. Of course, 49ers are surprising 4-1 given their injuries, especially last week beating the Rams, and I'm still not sure how that happened. The Buccaneers, a surprising 4-1 also, but for different reasons, really needed to rely on comebacks, but still have had a nice win most recently going out to Seattle. Now, that did depend on a turnover, but then still, Baker did have to deliver. And the Buccaneers have only lost to the Eagles in Week 4. So this is an interesting game to me. This is your first pick, but I'm going to just... Actually, go ahead and give your thoughts on that, and you can use any of those background notes or whatever you want, and just go ahead with your thoughts on 49ers at Buccaneers, and you are the first pick here.
Yeah, and they're going to continue to play Mac Jones, correct? Brock Purdy's not coming back anytime soon.
Right. That's correct.
All right. Yeah, no, I really like both these teams right now and what they're doing. You know, I mean, as the 49ers, it takes a lot of I don't know if it's resilience, but it takes a lot of dedication as a player for each individual player, you know, to still have your head in the game, you know, and not be discouraged by, oh, man, we're about to have Mac Jones throwing the football back there, you know. And so the first week when he came in and just absolutely tore it up, you know, I think it's huge. I mean, every player was looking nice. You know, the team played to get, like, it looked like they had chemistry. And that must be such a huge part of why they are QB University, in my opinion. You know, they must do a really great job of having their scout team just flow really well with the starting guys or something, because they just played together so well. And so I can totally see the 49ers pulling this out. But also, I love Tampa this year. They have the most heart in the league. You know, they're right there with how the Lions were, you know, the past few years. Just so much heart. You want to root for them. You want to root for Baker. You love his energy that he brings to the game each and every week. So this is going to be a really fun one, I think, too. I do get, you know, I used to get really bored watching the 49ers, but it's going to be fun now. And so I think I'm going to go Tampa here because they're at home, you know, and starting quarterback versus backup quarterback, even though Mac is looking nice. But, yeah, so I'm going to take Tampa, and I'm going to take them by 3.
Okay, and I want to tell you one other thing, because you asked about Mac Jones. The other interesting thing here, and I know you just said that, but in case you want to change your mind, it's a slight questionable on Mac Jones, and it's possible Adrian Martinez would have to start, but as far as I know, yeah, but it doesn't really, I don't know what the very, very, very latest and greatest, that was as of sometime last night. So does that change it at all for you, or do you think, well, Mac Jones is supposed to start anyway, so...
Well, we'll say under the assumption Mac is going to play, we'll just keep that same prediction. Obviously, if he doesn't, then I'm taking Tampa by like 13, but we're just going to assume he's going to play and be pretty healthy.
And you said 40, did you say 49ers by 3?
Yeah, no, I said Tampa by 3.
Okay. I was looking that up, and so I, you know,
if I said 49ers, I meant Tampa.
No, you probably did. I was just looking up that very news because I didn't want to misinform you. So you have picked against at least the spread here, in that the Buccaneers are favored, and you kind of think they would be, but they're favored by 3.5. So for me, 49ers at Buccaneers, man, you got those Tampa comebacks, and this is at, but it is at Buccaneers. And last, you know, Tampa's been relying on that stuff, but on the other hand, they've been, you know, cashing it in. Tampa didn't even sack Seattle's Darnold, and only 2 hits last week. Jackson Smith enigma. Seattle got 132 yards against Tampa. Godwin is week to week with a fibula issue. I think he's starting. But, you know, to your point, there's a lot of injuries on the Niners side. Kittle, Ayuk, Pearsall. Bourne got a huge week last week for 142. Jake Tongas has stepped up, you know, in the absence of Kittle. CMC just continues to get massive receiving yards. Three straight games with 80 or more. Not doing that great in the rush, but who cares? You get 40 yards of rush and you get 80 yards receiving. Tampa's allowed a lot per carry, or rather allowed a lot per carry last week. And the Niners have taken four straight here. Shanahan versus Bowles has been a beatdown. So, with that, man, have I picked against the? Let me see here. I just want to see what I've done. I picked one underdog. We have to pick two underdogs.
Yep.
I think I got room. I'll just have to look if I don't. Yeah, I got to go Buccaneers here. I believe in them at home. And I believe that I don't think Baker's as good as he's looking with all these comebacks, but I do think he's having a heck of a good year. So I will go just to get across. Yeah, well, I guess we can totally match. I'll go Buccaneers by 7. Okay, next game is Bengals at Green Bay. This is another one I just don't have that many notes on. I am the first pick here. Now, this is where, you know, Bengals are still in it. That's the funny thing, because they won those first two, right? And so even though you're 2-3, you're like, well, we still got a shot here. And so since they have a shot, they decided to go get Flacco just in case he can keep them afloat until maybe Joe comes back sometime in December, if he can. I don't remember where that is as far as, you know, how far his progress is, but I believe I heard potentially sometime in December. So like, well, geez, we still have a chance for the division. Least we can do is go get somebody who's, you know, can hit the ground running. Now, we know Flacco, when he hits the ground running, it is not necessarily very good, especially behind that, well, that everything for Bengals. And also, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is questionable with an illness. I don't know what the latest is. Packers are off of a bye. So we know where the Bengals are. They're just in really, really bad shape with the injuries and no Joe. So you don't even have to really talk about the record at this point. But for Green Bay, you know, they were the surprising. They lost to Cleveland after that. Well, they're obviously going to go to the Super Bowl because remember they beat Detroit before Detroit looked better. And they took care of the Commanders. Both of those were at home, though. And, you know, then they lost at Cleveland, and they tied against Dallas, and then they've had a bye week. So they haven't really proven it, so this will be interesting for me, for Green Bay. But
they're a total question mark.
What's that?
They're a total question mark.
Yeah, so for me, because they're a question mark, I still think they're a good team, and the Bengals are obviously not a good team right now, let alone if Ja'Marr can't play. And like I said, that was late last night. Maybe I looked again this morning. And Flacco, I get that when you have a brand new quarterback, it's like, well, you don't know that guy yet. Well, you know Flacco. I think they even played him earlier this week, earlier this year. Yeah, the Browns.
Yep.
You know, they do know Flacco. So for me, that doesn't give them any advantage. So to me, it's just more like, well, how much will Green Bay win by? That's why I say question mark, not whether they'll win. So since I'm the first pick here, this is going to be just, I don't think Flacco does them any good. I totally understand the move, and that maybe when they're not playing the Packers, they go, well, we have more of a shot with, you know, more preparation. I say Packers at home. I'm going to easily go. This is going to be a humongous win. I'm going to do a DeMarcus and go 17 here. So I'll go ahead. Bengals at Packers.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I really do like the move by the Bengals. You're doing something for your players there. You're giving them something to be like, oh, you haven't given up on us.
Yeah, division's totally in play. And the first way to, we won off of a wild card, or let alone a division. You know, so with the division in play, the easiest way to get in the playoffs is the division. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I totally applaud them for that. You know, they're finally doing something, you know, that is looking out for their players, not screwing them over. But, you know, what you do to not have to do that is, you know, get a left tackle or any linemen that are good And then, you know, your franchise quarterback doesn't get hurt every single year like he has every single year. He's going to turn – he's basically modern Andrew Luck, which really sucks, man, because he's
– Oh, yeah.
We know
that's a great comp.
We know how great he could be. But, I mean, they're going to ruin his career because they dumped all their money into wide receiver one and two and him.
I even like him more than Luck. In fact, I'd take him out of 10 times. I mean, I know it seems different because he retired early, so maybe my perception is off. Out of 10 times, I would take Joe, a healthy Joe, 8 times out of 10 over Luck. Anyway, go ahead.
Me too, yeah. And I mean, their careers are lining up to be very similar because he's just getting hurt every single year. And I think Burrow, honestly, gets hurt more significantly than what Luck would get hurt.
That's right.
Every year.
And Luck was sturdy. He was a sturdy guy, but he still got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just sad, man. An organization can really just ruin a player's career. You can just tell there's not a winning culture in Cincinnati. You know, they got so close that one year, and then, you know, rookie contracts came up, and they're like, well, let's dump all of our money into our, you know, our skill position players. And it's coming back to bite them. They're killing the quarterback. Dude, I can't even imagine the fear that Joe Flacco has right now. Probably quaking in his boots right now, getting warmed up or something. You know, I mean, I'd be terrified to play under that O-line if I was 42 or however old he is. Like, he's going to get killed. He might die today. He really might.
Thank God for the modern improvements in the helmet that they're always pushing. Can you get him one of those big helmets today?
Hopefully he's part cyborg and is able to survive today. I don't know. Yeah, maybe exactly. That's why they got him. But no, I mean, you're totally right. It's not a matter of if they will win. It's a matter of how much will they win by. And I'm going to take Packers by 10.
Okay, you are within the spread. So we actually at least have a little bit of difference there. The spread is 14.5. And I actually did not know that before I picked 17. But that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, they should win by a lot. But yeah, I'll just play 10, so I'm not trying to one-up you or anything.
I'm going to skip Chiefs so we can do it last. This one's going to be interesting just because you go, hey, maybe there is intrigue in the Buffalo Bills season. And it's the Bills at the Falcons. I'm going to be the first pick here. Now, the Bills... Give me just a moment. Yeah, they just lost to New England, but otherwise, you know, had that crazy first week against Baltimore. Hadn't played a lot in between because it's the Jets, it's Miami, it's New Orleans that you beat. So you are supposed to beat the teams in front of you, and they did. But then the Patriots did beat them, but it did require a turnover. I can't remember exactly what it was. Yeah, it was 3 total turnovers in the loss to the Patriots. And otherwise, they've scored at least 30, have the Bills. Atlanta defense is okay. Like, they're 15th in points per game at only 21.5. And only 6 drives in 4 games have reached the 20-yard line. The Atlanta defense is better than you'd think just because you first think of record, right? So they're 4th in quarterback rating allowed and 1st in yards per game allowed, which I would not have expected. At all.
I did not realize how good they were.
Yeah, so Buffalo, Khalil Shakir had 45 last week. You know, he very much spreads it out right now, I think, if I remember right. The tight end for the Bills, Kincaid, looked good last week, catching all his passes for over 108. Atlanta blitzes a lot, and I think maybe that could be okay because I'm thinking Buffalo has some injuries, if I'm remembering right. And they have 10 sacks, but they're 7th in quarterback pressure percentage. I shouldn't say but. That's okay. You know, that's, you know, top quarter of the league. And they're just kind of mid for yards per carry allowed as far as Atlanta. But they're tied for 28th when the quarterback runs, so that ain't good. Cook had a little bit of a dud last week. Obviously, he's had a really good season otherwise. Again, though, against potentially semi-inferior competition. And Allen did his usual kind of 9 for 53. Of course, you got Bijan on that side. And he's been doing the CMC thing because he's had good receiving yards as well. So Bijan with the Falcons and the receiving yards. Falcons offense is 7th in yards per game, but 26th in points per game. So they're not cashing it in. They're 26th in red zone. Falcons are coming off a bye. Now, again, as we say, well, the Bills are winning who they're beating who they're supposed to beat, but they haven't had a lot of really difficult opponents. Looking back at that Ravens team, that the defense didn't even look that good in week one, and that proved out in the upcoming weeks. And they're coming off of a bye, is Atlanta. They barely lost to Tampa Bay at home. They beat Minnesota second week at Minnesota. And then they got their doors blown off in Panthers, which just something happened to the universe that day, and we don't know what it was. And now we're just seeing this is our one little indication of a parallel universe. And none of us
they
can put
that they were still the Falcons.
Yeah, yeah. As Carolina Panthers at Carolina, they lost 30-0, and then they beat the Commanders. So it's a tough team to figure out. But on the other hand, it's Bills at the Falcons. I expect the Bills to get right here. I'm not looking at the spread. I'm just going to pick. It's a get right, and since they just got off, they're going to when they can beat someone, they try. And they try to go ahead and make a point differential. I'm going to say Bills by 10 here at Falcons.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely is and should be a get-right game for Buffalo. But on the other hand, I mean, you're the Falcons. Right now you need to be asking, why not? You've had 2 weeks of preparation, which is exactly what you want when you're about to play the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills just lost. They're coming into your house, a dome. It gets loud in there. You have real home field advantage. You have young star players who were finally featured excellently last week. All of them spread around, very good, which I don't know if that was last week. I'm referring to their last game.
Right.
You need to be asking why not here, you know? And I do think Buffalo's really good at picking up blitzes because I'm a Chiefs fan. And we play them a lot, and I'd say they punish us the most for blitzing as much as we do. But, maybe they expect it a little less since it's not the Chiefs. You know, they probably have extensive film about the Chiefs. But if you're the Falcons, seriously, why not? Just go out there, shock the world, statement game, put Michael Penix on the board, put Drake London on the board, Kyle Pitts, Bijan. Feature those guys. Put the game in their hands. You know, I really want to take the Falcons here. I really, really want to. And I know I'm already
Bills only favored by 4.5. FYI.
Gotcha. Yeah. No. I mean, I'm already at my, upset requirement or whatever. But I'm going to take Falcons. I'm going to take them by 3.
Wow. Well,
huge upset.
You can't say that we're not disagreeing or that you're not going out on a limb. I'm always going to be one of those, well, I guess I got to pick one, so this will be it. Bears Commanders is next. This will be your pick. This is when I was doing my notes earlier. You can see I have basically a library of notes, so you can use some of them. But high level, we've got Bears. Is this right? Is the Bears a left hand? Yeah. The Bears is left hand side there. 2-2, but they've won 2 in a row. They're coming off a bye week. The Commanders are now 3-2, and they split that back and forth. Win, loss, win, loss, win. And they just beat the Chargers. And the Commanders' other victory was the Raiders, which you would think, but they took care of them. And they beat New York. So nothing impressive as far as victories until, unless you want to say still the Chargers was impressive. Because after all, they beat the hell out of the Chargers, and it was at LA, and LA had a reason to win because they just lost one. So other than that, let's see here. Daniels is back after 2 weeks off of injury, beat the Chargers last week with him. Debo, I think, might be out. I think I heard something about Debo being out. So that's going to be interesting. I don't know what else I want to say here. I'm going to go ahead and make the pick. No, you can do whatever other thoughts you want. I'll have more of a chance to look at my observations because I have so many observations here and they're not organized. I like the way Caleb's been looking. I'll just say that. Obviously, I like Rome Odunze, and is Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt on that on one of these two teams? Washington. So Drake London there, Kyle Pitts. I'm not going to go into more detail. Still no Terry McLaurin, but they've adjusted well without him. So with this being Bears at Commanders, you can add your thoughts, and this is your first pick for Bears at Commanders.
Yeah, and did you say what the spread is? I might have missed it.
It's Commanders by 4.5 at home.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I root for the Bears pretty hard. I got a couple of friends who are Bears fans, and I'm not super far from Chicago, not crazy far, and I'm tired of seeing them beat bad. I really like Caleb Williams. He's playing a lot better. I think he's playing. He looks a lot more comfortable this year. I like Rome. You know, I like their team. I do. I like Ben Johnson. He could use a little composure, maybe. But I like Jaden Daniels a little more. I like the Commanders a little more as a team. They're a little more established in my eyes. They play together really well compared to the Bears. I think the Bears are, you know, nice, pretty nice on paper, you know. They should be a little better than what they are, in my opinion. I just don't think they have really great chemistry yet. For those reasons and the fact that Commanders have home field advantage, even though we know their stadium sucks, I'm going to go ahead and take Commanders, and I'm going to take Commanders by 6.
Commanders by 6. Okay. They are favored, and they're favored by 4.5. I know I said that, but just to kind of reset for our brain. You said Commanders by 6. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because they were both 2-2 after 4 games. Just that one of them had a bye and one of them is not. And they both kind of had that same, are you going to improve? Is it both their second years? It is, right? So this is, you know, such a twin kind of, you know, situation. And it's tough because, man, it is at home for the Commanders. The Commanders, that victory, is this the 15-18 victory? No, I think I got the wrong one there. I don't know what my pick is here. Let me quick make a decision. We'll look and see if we'll pause after we select it and then see if I'm not hitting the minimum, and then we'll just come back. And if I'm not hitting the minimum, I'll have to change one. So I'm going to go, I'll go Commanders. I do think it's potentially close. I'm going to go 3, which at least puts us on the other side of the favorites. Last one before our team is Texans-Vikings. This will be my pick first. I don't even think I have it on my list, actually, possibly. I may not. So this.
Aren't they on the bye?
I'm sorry. Yeah, they're on the bye, and that's what it's listed. I don't know why I can't read that they're on the bye, because it says NA and bye on my sheet. So now we're to ours, our team, and let's see who I had listed to get to go first on that one. Actually, you get to go first on this, and just the way it fell with the odd number of games. So, you know, very quickly, you know, we both know enough about the Chiefs. Just give your full background. I'll add a little bit of background just in case it changes it after, and then you'll do your pick first. So Lions at Chiefs.
Lions at Chiefs. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm thanking the one and only Lord that we have a home game this week, that we are playing Detroit in Kansas City. Man, last week was so discouraging to me. I mean, the first half, I was like, okay, we are back, you know, and then we just start to fold. We just melt. And you can listen to our quick react about it. You know, you hear all the extensiveness of our disappointment and the continual problems that we have when we have good leads. And so it's almost like it's better if you know it's going to be a close game, because that's what we're good at winning, is the close game. And it's so frustrating to me. But I'm really glad that we're at home for this game. I like Detroit a lot. I root for Detroit. They are gritty. They have heart. They love their coach. They love each other. they are a tough, tough team to beat, and it means a lot if you beat them. And it's why, I mean, I'm glad we have it. I'm glad we're not just, like, playing the Panthers right now, you know, and then people still have a question mark on us. Because if we go here, you know, if we go out there tonight and we have a good statement win, you know, we have that nice drive at the end of the game for the win, you know, like, that puts us right back in the mix of things, regardless of record. Everybody knows we're legit. It's just... And I'm really not that worried. I don't have a looming feeling like we're going to lose, which I have sometimes. And Mahomes hasn't beaten Goff either, so that's about the only thing that really worries me. But I think if we can get to Goff, anytime Goff is under pressure, he does not play great. So we need to rely on those Spags blitzes, and also take advantage of when Campbell is overly aggressive, because there will be moments. There will be moments that he is, especially against us. Teams love doing that anyway, let alone Dan Campbell. Teams love having the little extra aggressive, go for it on fourth down when it's a little risky against us, because they know the stakes. They know what it means to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And so we really need to take advantage of those moments. You know, if we can catch and win those big moment plays right there, when they're a little extra aggressive, or they go for two, or they go for it on fourth and four, you know, stuff like that, that will decide the game. You said I could go ahead and go into my prediction first. I know I didn't give much statistical background at all, but I figure you can, you know, kind of cover that stuff. I'm expecting our rookie running back Smith to get a lot more touches this week. I really, really hope he does. And I'm expecting Thornton to have a nice, solid game. I'm hoping he can get more involvement throughout the duration of the game compared to last week. I know he had the three huge receptions to start it and then went absolutely radio silent. So I'm hoping this week he can be a consistent piece that, you know, at least is spreading the field and opening up the other guys for the duration of the game. I'm really, really hoping Hollywood Brown will do more than just like 40 yards, you know. And I'd love to see some Kelsey action. I hope Kelsey isn't just shut down the whole game. Those games are rough. If we can just spread the ball around and have a nice balance of run pass, but I want Mahomes to have at least 35 attempts, then I think we will win this game in solid, good fashion. I'm going to take Chiefs. I'm going to take them by 4.
Okay. The favorite are the Chiefs at home, but less than a neutral site even. So instead of, you know, usually at home you get 3 points, it's only 2.5. So for me on the Chiefs, I can totally see them losing, but I don't expect them to, and I'm not going to pick against them. To me, this is the most disappointing we've been for our talent, because I think this might be, as of this point, week six, I think up and down on the offensive side, this is as good as we've been in probably 3 years, but certainly 2, as far as potential. And I mean the lines look good. We have a receiving core, and we need to cash in on this last one before Rashee Rice, so we're even. When you knew Rashee Rice was out 6 weeks, you had to go, well, geez, surely that's a tough start. And we don't have much for receivers. And Xavier Worthy, you're going to have to lean on, let alone once you knew you couldn't lean on him for a couple of games. You go, man, if we can at least go 3-3 and get some kind of survival mode. The year that we made it and then lost to the Bengals in the championship, started poorly, we were 3-4 at some point in that year. So it would be nice to not go 2-4. Yeah, I like the way we're looking. Obviously, Goff is incredible. There are some injuries more on the Detroit side. Taylor Decker and his usual backup at left tackle, safety, Kirby Joseph, defensive back, Brian Branch. A backup cornerback is on the smaller side. So, they've even got one cornerback that's on injured reserve. And the other starting quarterback, Terrion Arnold, is out. Goff is, you know, 75% in completion percentage. So I guess they deploy a three-man rush with a spy a lot. So that's going to be interesting. And that they did that, or at least they did it against Lamar. But our offensive line is much better than Baltimore's. So I don't know if that's going to work for them. We have three in a row at home before Bills on road, then bye. We have to take advantage of this home game. We just have to. Also, I noticed or just I read that we were doing more running from under center last week. And so I hope we do more of that. It was a lot higher success rate. And so I hope we do that because that means it's not an RPO and our line can, you know, get off the ball and they do pretty well with it. Travis has had a high success rate. Again, that like did your play result in getting ahead of the sticks? He's had a nice success rate if you look on Pro Football Focus. And he's averaging 48 and a half yards. You just don't have the big, like, you know, pivotal moments. It's just like good production, not pivotal moments. I love how we spread the ball out, to your point, Tyquan, Marquise, Travis, all within about 40 yards of each other, 272, 257, 243. An odd thing is our tight ends have been basically non-existent this year. It's our other tight ends, which is odd. I'd like to see that
change. I noticed that, too. We were the exact opposite last year. We had Noah Gray all the time.
Noah Gray's barely done anything. So this is important for us because, you know, we've got the Raiders, which we can obviously win. We've got the Commanders, which if we're on a roll there, we feel pretty good against the Commanders at home. You know, maybe we found some stuff with Rashee. And then we have to play Buffalo at Buffalo, which would be big if we do win three in a row here. And then we get our bye, and we get a week to prepare for Denver at Denver. Breshard Smith did not have participation last week. He had 19 the week before against the Ravens, only had 6 against the Jags, which is his least offensive snap. So I don't know why we did that. I hope we can get back to that. So that's interesting to me. And then the one thing I shared with you before the recording is this idea that we know that we want to play our young quarterback, Noel Williams. He basically didn't play last week, even though we're going, this is an emerging, I think, a physical kind of man-to-man guy closer to on the outside, whereas our all-worlder, sorry, I'm trying to, McDuffie, he could potentially stay inside. So what somebody had identified is that when we change personnel in our defensive backfield, it's very easy for the offense to dictate. If they put in heavy personnel like they're going to run or extra tight ends, then we don't use Noel Williams. So I don't know if you had any thoughts or if you observed that. I didn't. I'm just putting it out there. That's interesting that we know where we want to get to with defensive backs. It's Noel Williams. But then we don't get there. Any thoughts or kind of like confirmation on that?
Oh, yeah. I just saw the same stat, you know, that he played. I think it was either 3 or 4 snaps last week. And, you know, in a week where we had a jump ball touchdown to Brian Thomas, you know, in the end zone, you wonder, wonder if he would have got that if it was Noel Williams.
Yeah, because Connor has his strengths and he has his weaknesses. And he can get beat.
I wonder if we had our nice quarterback who has a low completion percentage when targeted. You know, I wonder if that guy would have caught that right there, you know? And it's just little stuff like that that completely changes the narrative of your season. Yeah. And no, so, I mean, nothing more to add really other than, yes, it also pissed me off. Made me really mad.
Yeah,
just so like you.
I don't know what the answer is. I'm just like, wait a second. I thought Noel Williams. So supposedly it has to do with the personnel, and they basically are going by a rule that everybody can tell if you scouted them. And then it's like, well, Noel Williams is pretty good, but we can get him out of there. And so the other thing is that we've been getting so minimal pressure. I'm not even going to talk about I'm not going to go in to Jones, Chris Jones. He apparently just like, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought the play was over. And then I was sitting there reacting, but that's on me. So regardless on that play for the touchdown, with or without Chris Jones, we're just not getting anything for pressure with four-man pressure. And so I don't know what we do about that. That's going to be rough because we need to get pressure on Detroit. So I don't know what they're going to work up. And they're blitzing. I said last week in React that I wondered if we blitz at a high pressure rate. Maybe it was just the effectiveness I didn't see. We're usually just like just wizards with coming with these cornerback blitzes or these late blitzes off the edge. And I didn't see it last week, but I also didn't rewatch the game. So we need to do something because, to your point, Goff is gettable, but nobody has got him. And I don't see our front four getting him. So I don't know what that looks like, stunts or whatever, but it's a problem. Like, this is easy.
Yeah, and I mentioned it last week, too, you know, because you were saying we have gotten no four-man rush pressure at all, and we're not blitzing as much as we had been. Well, and I mentioned it last week that in previous weeks this year, it seems like teams are very ready to pick up the blitz, you know, and so I think we're backing off on that a little bit, but it sucks because, like you said, four-man rush is getting nothing, and how do you do that? I mean, you just go out there and work your guys even harder, I guess, during the practice week. I mean, how do you make them just better? You know, it just seems they've fallen off as a four-man unit.
When we switched out, who do we have now, Naughty, or is it the other guy? Who do we have last year's guy was better. I don't know why we swapped him out.
We got Naughty back this year.
Yeah, last year's guy was better, and I think he might have been younger too, but we didn't keep him, and we have no pressure up the middle. So I'm worried. Obviously, Amon-Ra is just like top five receiver any given week. He's top two. Gibbs and Montgomery. We do well against defensive backs, but, you know, Buffalo's tricky. But we really need to cash on. When we didn't cash in last week on, okay, you guys know you got to focus, and all of a sudden the first 2 weeks of the league didn't even matter. When we didn't even cash in on that so that we could be tied atop AFC West, surely we've got to be focused here. But I don't have a lot of faith in it, honestly, because like I said, high-pressure moments, we're not delivering. We're doing things like three and outs when we need to extend the league and then lead later on. It doesn't look like Patrick believes in the offense and just pukes it down the field. I said it in the React. I don't have a lot of faith until they show me different. Everybody goes, don't freak out. Well, I'm not freaking out, but I'm also saying I would not be surprised at all if they lost by 10 here. But I'm picking them. So I'll pick the Chiefs, and because I don't lose faith in the Chiefs until they're totally out of it, but they look bad right now outside the offense, which is looking good. But again, they didn't go, hey, finally our offense is a strength. Why don't we act like it? Again, they didn't do it when they go, yeah, but how do we win this game? You don't win it by leaning on the defense. You should know this after 4 weeks. And they
What I have seen is neither side of the ball is bad. What I've seen is both sides of the ball are more than capable. But I think it's good for us that we're losing these games where we don't score enough points to just put them away like we did all year last year. And we kept getting away with relying on the defense at the end of the game. I think it's good for us that we're losing these games because it has... The only thing you can do is change. The only thing you can do is stop doing that crap because we should have lost five games last year, probably five or six. And, you know, you keep getting away with this lucky crap and it teaches you to not worry about it too much, you know, as a whole. And so our coaches have to adjust here and say, foot on the gas when you're up two possessions. Foot on the gas, no matter what time it is, unless there's 5 minutes left or less, preferably less than that, because I'm tired of seeing us keep teams in the game because as soon as we get up two scores, we decide, we got it, you know, and this happened. We've done that for about 4 years now.
I love Steve, but stop. To me, or somebody said this on some show I was listening to. They said, yeah, this whole Bieniemy thing, right? Like the whole partnership. And it's finally surfacing just slightly. Like, is there something wrong with Nagy? And someone goes, yeah, but you know, Patrick didn't necessarily like Bieniemy that much. I'm like, what are you talking about? But okay, they said, would you rather have a happy, Patrick with Nagy than it's like, he wasn't unhappy. He was winning. Are you stupid? But
I mean,
regardless,
he was not unhappy at all. He had some moments where he would challenge Bieniemy, you know, and it'd be in the public eye. But, and I don't even mean in press game conferences. He'd go up to him, you know, and they'd be arguing. But then they would get better, and they'd, you know, Mahomes was winning MVPs, and he should have three or something by now.
To me, the Chiefs, you want your stars to be ultimately happy, then it doesn't matter how it works. You don't think this team can be coached tough. They want to win. That's what makes them happy. So for the defensive side, I just insist that it has to be wearing on Chris Jones and this defense how much they have to be relied upon. It's like every time they turn around, they got to stop another drive with a all-world quarterback on offense. It's got to be so tiring. Like even when the offense look, and I know he's a trooper, and that, and Nick Bolton is, and a bunch of people are, Tranquil and everything, but holy crap, could you maybe give us a little bit of psychological rest and get out to a lead and keep it? Maybe?
And it becomes to the point too where you start to talk about legacy and how having Matt Nagy on your team is directly attacking Patrick Mahomes' legacy. Because if you keep him for the next 5 years, he's not going to throw 40 touchdowns a year. Maybe twice in the next five. Maybe if you're lucky, he'll get to throw 40 touchdowns. But if you, if we don't get rid of him after this year, I don't know. I regardless of the outcome of the year, I just don't know if it's going to be viable to believe that Patrick Mahomes can become the greatest player of all time. Because how can we succeed when we have so much? It's like, it's just like carrying baggage for Mahomes. You know, he's got to beat the team on the other side of the field, first of all. Then you got to worry about your own team shooting themselves in the foot every week, because we almost do it almost every week. Last year, we easily could have went 8-9 easily if we had not had.
So you don't think that it makes him happier to be up by 13 come the fourth quarter, and then the defense feels a little bit better because they can blitz? So we talk about this all, you know, they can just pin their ears back. So anyway, yeah, let's talk about what we got to here and just cover top to bottom. We went, let's see, let me make sure I got this. Eagles-Giants, was that Thursday night? Yeah, we both picked Eagles. We agreed there. The Eagles were favored by 7.5. So I got my pass the spread there. So still pick the favorite. I got one of my pass the spread. Broncos-Jets, obviously we both picked the Broncos. And I'm assuming they're winning, but I don't know. We're both bigger than the spread, though. So we get our bigger than spread. That's two for me, one for you. Cardinals-Colts, we both picked the Colts. And one of us was on the other side of the spread. So that gives you two that disagrees with the spread. I wasn't. I was just under the spread. So then we had Browns-Steelers. We did differ here. Browns for me by 3. Steelers for you by 7. You went above the spread here for Steelers. So you are covering that, no problem. You're now to 3 of those. And I picked the opposite. So I picked an underdog there. Cowboys-Panthers, I picked Cowboys by 4, you actually picked the underdog Panthers. So Cowboys were favored by only 3. So in one sense, I picked different than the spread. So my spread should be out of the way. I hadn't picked an underdog yet. Chargers-Rams, Chargers by 5 for me. They were favored by 3.5, so I'm above the spread. But I don't have an outright underdog winning yet. You were below. No, you were. You picked the Dolphins here, so yeah. No. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just pointing it out. I'm like, that's right. You did. Rams, Ravens. We both picked that as an obliteration. Means we both went well over the spread, so we're okay there. Patriots at Saints. We both picked Patriots, and we both picked over the spread. We are obviously not gamblers. But it's funny because, you know, it can work. It's just that Vegas never picks very big odds. I'm sorry, big spreads. Seahawks, Jaguars, we disagreed here. Here the underdog, the Seahawks are the favorite. And I did pick the Seahawks, and I picked them over the spread. You picked the underdog again with the Jaguars. Raider, Titans.
I can't believe they're the underdog, though. That's just odd.
You can look again. It was a very close underdog. It was 1.5 at home. But remember, they weren't favored against us either, the Jaguars.
Well, yeah, they shouldn't have been. They shouldn't have been. But, no, that's
I'm just saying, you know, maybe that's, you know, just for background.
They just beat the Chiefs. Like, it's just weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, I've been wrong before. I'll check again. It's kind of a manual check to put it in one spot. So I'll check
again. I believe you. It's just weird that they don't have them favored.
Yeah. Titans, Raiders, we disagreed there, too. Raiders are actually favored by 4.5. I picked the Raiders, but I did not go past that. I only went by 3. You picked the Titans, so you picked another underdog. I think I have to pick another underdog. I got to change one of these. Bengals, Packers. Let's see. Packers are way favored. We were on other sides of how much they were favored, and that I picked them by 17. I think maybe you didn't realize how much it was. You just went Tim, decided not to change it. But you have plenty of, you know, beyond the spread anyway. So you're fine there. 49ers at Buccaneers. We both picked the Buccaneers. You said it was going to be within the spread. I said it was going to be outside the spread. I picked them by 7. You picked them by 3. They were favored at home by 3.5. Lions, Chiefs, we both picked the Chiefs, and we both picked them by more than the spread, which is only 2.5. And then Bills, Falcons, we did disagree here. I picked the Bills by 10. You picked the Falcons, and I picked the Bills by more than the spread, which was surprisingly only 4.5. But again, that defense hasn't shown a lot there. Bears, Commanders, we agreed on Bears, Commanders, in that we said the Commanders were going to win at home. But you were on the other side of the spread. You picked more than the spread, which was 4.5. But I have only picked one underdog, so I have to swap one of my picks.
Well, and I'll say, too, you know, we're doing that for the entertainment of the show, you know, and
that's okay.
I think we have more than enough variability between the two of us. And, you know, I think it's been a really fun episode. And you know, and there's a lot of good differences between us and everything. So if you don't want to change any picks, I don't have a problem with that. But if you want to go ahead and, like, stick to our rule, you know, that's fine, too.
Yeah, I mean, we can adjust the rule to one if you want, at least one outright underdog, but it might be nice for me to pick one since you picked 4. I mean, pick a second one.
Dude, okay, but I kind of believe in each of them. I mean, the one I believe in the least is probably maybe Panthers and Cowboys, but, I mean, that would just be funny. But no, imagine how fun this week will be if I'm right about, like, 2 or 3 of the underdogs, you know? Will be a really, really fun week. I really hope Falcons do it. I think the Falcons one is the one I believe in the most, funny enough, because it's just, like, they have everything going for them. Everything that they want going into this game, they have going for them, you know?
Yeah, I said, the Bills have looked nice, but look at who they beat. And, you know, they do look a little vulnerable. I believe in their ability to pull out close victories, kind of like the Chiefs did last year. But on the other hand, they just lost a game they shouldn't have. So they still have a little bit to prove. You know, maybe I'll go Command. No, Commanders is the favorite. I can pick something.
Yeah.
I didn't have Seahawks, Jaguars. I picked the favorite there, and it's at Jaguars.
Yeah.
I hate
the In my team. Opinion, Seahawks should be the underdog, but, I mean.
I really believe in the Seahawks at the Jaguars, so I am not switching that. Chargers at Dolphins. I don't believe the Dolphins can beat the Chargers. I mean, at least you can say it's my honest opinion here. I guess I'll swap Browns-Steelers.
Yeah, that one I might be wrong on.
I'm gonna swap Brown Steelers. and just say Steelers, but close by three. No, I just swapped the wrong one, bro. That was my underdog pick. Oh my gosh, I got nothing to pick. I gotta go.
Your logical brain won't let you do it, man.
Seahawks, Jaguars. I really don't believe in the Jaguars, but it's okay. We disagree enough. I don't believe in them, but since they're at home, we'll give them one. We'll give them one, and I'm going to say somehow they only win by two. Don't ask me how that happens, but just so I'm not agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Oh, I meant to go Jaguars. All right, I just retyped Seahawks.
Your brain will not let you do it, bro.
Yeah, so I got Jaguars, so... yeah, that's what we have. I think it was a pretty good episode. It went a little bit longer than we thought. We'll get it focused a little bit more, but we got plenty of time to get it posted by the noon games. Before we go, just curious, what is the score over there on our London
Denver
game?
And New York? Let's have a look. Oh, 11-10, New York.
That would help us
what
out.
What is happening?
That would help us out. Well, I got NFL, so I can go NFL Network, so I can go catch up on that or just watch the rest of it live since it's 10:40.
It would be so sweet. It would be so sweet if New York won, made them 3-3, and then Miami beats LA, and then the Chiefs win and still somehow are at the top or whatever. Well, we wouldn't be at the top.
That was our chance last week, bro. It was right there. It didn't even have to manifest by the time we played. It was already there.
Yep.
So
it'd be so funny if the AFC West just continues to just choke under the pressure of, oh, we can finally win the division.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see, are any of our division games after hours? No, just Bills. Bills is after hours, so it'd be nice if something could happen with them. But otherwise, we already know what's happened with the division by the time we play Sunday night.
It's the end of the third quarter. Don't look at all or anything. How many passing yards do you think Justin Fields has so far through three quarters?
Oh, see, now I'm supposed to – now I'm alerted to the idea that I should know that I should be surprised potentially. But I honestly don't believe it. So I think Justin Fields through three quarters only has 92 passing yards.
He has 38.
Okay, it was either going to be you're going to be surprised at how many he has, or it's going to be you can't believe how much of a dumpster fire this was, and I didn't know which. Yeah.
And he's 8-13.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, Rodgers is very, very low yards per attempt, or yards per catch, if you look at that.
I'm okay with that. He's 40-something.
Like the lowest in the league. Yeah, I'm not saying yay or nay on what that means, but I noted that when I was looking through things. Okay, well, that was fun.
He's not the guy that needs to be extending plays or anything.
You know, the good thing about now we've done this, we are a little bit more prepared with our reactions tonight because we did do a little bit deeper background. So we may do a reaction to more games if we do. The idea was just four, and the rest of them we do super, super duper quick reacts. We do a Chiefs react. We might do that tonight. I wouldn't mind doing it tonight. Nephew, get some sleep. But we wouldn't absolutely have to because I know you got a life. But I would rather, if we win, I'd rather put it up pretty quick, like within an hour and a half.
Yeah, we can probably do it tonight. If not, just first thing in the morning. I mean, I have my mornings free, so.
Yeah, I don't. So unless we did it early. Okay, with that, thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Scales of Truth. I honestly have not put up a serious episode as a non-sports one. I have one brewing. And what is the one I was brewing? Oh, it's interesting because if you've listened to my Scales of Truth on the Tylenol thing where it's like, oh, RFK Jr. said something, so it must be bullshit. And then I went, totally not. It's only 13 years worth of studies. And literally the scientists across the world have been like, hey, this is a call for action. Maybe we should make sure that pregnant mothers don't take Tylenol. Like literally there is that much to it. And looking at that episode, I found any number of pharmaceutical companies and medical device companies have these safety teams that kind of monitor what's going on in the literature and so on. And I heard this term called confounding. Well, they're confounding their results. And I'm pretty sure I've come to the conclusion but not 100%. That confounding means you're not looking at the statistical significance. So I think I'm probably going to cover that. Statistical significance means across the population that is eligible for whatever we're studying, the entire population, all we do is have one theory. And we go, okay, if this is true versus the control group, it should be statistically different. And it looks like safety type teams are instead going, yeah, I know it's statistically significant, but you didn't account for and these other things. Now, and what they do is like, well, you didn't account for the fact that, midgets can't reach as high. And so, but it ends up being totally irrelevant. And it's go, yeah, but midgets are in your population. So you better think of if that amount of, makes it mean that it's statistically significant across the entire population, you don't get to take out the part that it's, just because you've identified that they're more possible to have risks. So I think that's probably what they're doing. And I started to look into it, but haven't finished it entirely. So look for the Scales of Truth, and that's not just Sports Scales of Truth. I do want you guys to know that I'm going to get better and more efficient at these Sports Scales of Truth. It's the ramp up that's taking me time. And so, come the weekend, during the week, I will have more of a chance to do the very serious stuff that I'm known for over on the Scales of Truth. And if you're a Sports Scales of Truther, well, then go check some of those out. You're going to get enlightened. Okay, again, then, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. And again, Nephew DeMarcus, thank you for helping me out here.
Yes, sir. Thanks for another great week. Today was definitely our best.
All right. Thanks, everybody.